Broads, nothing kills a summer day buzz quicker than realizing you stepped on, forgot, lost, or dropped and broke your brand new way too expensive sunglasses, which, by the way, can cost a freaking fortune these days. Do not let your entire summer fun budget go to buying new pairs of sunglasses. Instead, get yourself some from Blenders.
Not only are Blenders built to last, they're a lot more affordable than what most designer sunglasses cost. There's a lot of different styles to choose from, and I like to keep my sunglasses more classic. I like their simple black frames or the tortoise shells with the brown lenses, but they've also got really wild colored lenses. They've got wraparound sport frames, whatever you want, they've got.
And it's not just sunglasses either. Blenders offers prescription glasses, readers, blue lights. They've even got a snow collection to check out for the winter months.
To score 15% off your Blenders purchase, visit blenderseyewear.com. Enter promo code ChattyVIP. That's blenderseyewear.com, code ChattyVIP for 15% off. Blenders, rocked with pride worldwide.
And welcome to another episode of Chatty Broads with Becca and Jess.
Like some Java.
Well, if you're listening to that sound, you didn't hear the click of the can. You didn't hear the clinking of ice.
Wakey, wakey.
It's because we're doing this in the morning, which is rare for us. We've done this only a couple times before.
Just a couple times. It's emergencies.
How are you as a morning guy? We've talked about this a little bit before, but I feel like...
You know, it's weird. So, like, because I was just somewhere else, I've realized, like, I have bad allergies in the morning.
Oh.
And that really screws up the start of my day. Because I sneeze, like, 40 times. And then everything's, like, swollen and congested. And I literally, it takes me, like, 2 hours.
Do you take, like, Claritin or something?
No, I'm going to start, though.
Why? Is it because there's, like, a blooming in the morning? Like, why in the morning versus night versus daytime?
I don't know. But I just... The mornings are rough in that way. But, like, I am extremely productive in the mornings.
It's interesting you said that Jess gets allergies at night. I don't know what that is. What's with you guys? But you're productive in the morning.
I'm productive.
Right away?
Waking up... No, like, once my alarm goes off, I am not... It doesn't matter what time. It could be 9 o'clock. It could be 5 o'clock. I feel the exact same. Even if I get that 4 extra hours of sleep, it's the moment I open my eyes, I'm like, no can do. But if I fight and just get up and get through that, like 2 minutes later, I'm like totally fine.
Yeah.
But especially if I just walk outside and just have like cold air hit me, I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Here we go. Like, let's start the routine.
Yeah. I need some time. I'm for that first hour when Ember I'm just like, I'm a zombie from 6:45 to 9. I'm useless. And then like it starts to come in if I'm pounding coffee, like the brain starts to wake up. But I'm definitely more of a night guy. Like my everything's firing at night, like my brain is working. In the morning, I'm just a little bit more like
I'm dead at night. I am far more productive. I'm so like
recording in the morning right now. Do you feel right now better than you normally do at night? Like, do you feel more on fire?
I currently feel this is me on fire.
Yeah, I was gonna say I'm not getting a lot of on fire vibes right now.
I'm on fire right now.
Yeah. I'm out of control energy. I can't slow down.
I am an out of control blaze.
So you're a very controlled burn right now.
I'm enigmatic right now.
Dude, so how's corn on the cob?
The cob house?
Caught your cob house trip.
Building forts.
What was it like? Because she was there, 2 weeks? And then you were there a week.
I was at the cob build for a total of 24 minutes.
Stop. Oh, so did she do the build?
And then Becca's deal.
And then you guys came back and then we're just chilling on vacation?
I showed up for one day. Like not even a full day, not even a half day. I basically showed up. They all started like super early in the morning. I showed up for breakfast.
Okay.
Just had this like incredible breakfast.
So this is like a all-inclusive resort, but cob building.
It's summer camp, basically. Oh, like they're okay. All everyone else. So like our really good friends live like 10 to 15 minutes from the location that this workshop was taking place at. And it's
just a quick break. I'm sure the broads will be talking about this in depth. So we probably don't.
Well, that's why I'm just going to talk about.
But I want to hear your experience. But
it's in the sticks. My friends live like, my friend commutes on logging roads.
So this is his, this is the, like his experience, like his, he owns this experience?
No, no, no. This is, so.
Or he brought you guys to
We were, our friend lives up in, lives outside, like about 40 minutes outside of Eugene, Oregon.
Yeah.
In a small area called like Triangle Lake or like, I can't remember. It's like some little valley, but, you know, it's like population 150.
Right, right.
And he works on an works on this like big CSA programmed organic farm they do like livestock and all this stuff. But surrounding that is just logging. It's all logging and milling towns. So like this property that the Cobb workshop was on was like adjacent to the farm that he works on. So it was all just really close together. So everyone else in this program was living at the site that the Cobb house was being built on. Becca was able to go back and stay with my friends, but it was also had to do with our kids and that whole program. But anyway, it's just pointing just to show like how just rural it is they don't have this. He doesn't, when he drives to work in the morning, he's not on like a highway. He's on a log road weaving through the mountains. Wow. On a dirt log road. He's the only car going there and back to his house. And dude, it is wild. You're just seeing like hawks and vultures and like nothing on either side of you forever. And like, you know, interacts with like 15 to 20 different people a week.
Wow.
You know, it's very contained.
But I guess that's more than a lot of people who work at home.
It's a trip, dude. It's so
wow.
Fun.
Okay. So then you guys go, you're there for a week. She's there for 2 weeks. You only contribute for one day and then you're kind of like, this ain't me.
So the Cobb workshop is like a workshop. Like people paid to go and have this program. So it's not like anybody and everybody show up. And
this
like,
is like, what do you call it when you go to a ranch?
Well, it's like, it's more like school. It's like a class. It's
right.
Like,
they're like, we're teaching you every element of this.
You don't just get to walk into any classroom. Like you got to sign up for it.
Oh, okay.
And it's one thing if you're like showing your friends where it is, but it's like, they don't just get to take the class with you.
They got
to
pay and be there.
So, and even though like my buddy knows the guy pretty well, who's running it. And one day, like we were there, they were putting the roof up and we were like, yo, that's a sick day. We want to go there for the roof day. And we called him up and he's like, no, you guys can't come for the roof day. It's too many people. It's too hectic. And like, I need to focus on the people who like are signed up for this thing. Not just like you guys coming to enjoy the afternoon. So when I showed up, I just showed up to get like a tour of what was going on. And like, I mixed some Cobb and I put like a little bit of Cobb on there. And I was like, all right, cool. I probably put like 5 handfuls of Cobb on that thing,
because it's like a version of cement. You just
didn't stop me from taking pictures in front of it as if I had built the entire thing though.
Good.
And I'm also in those 5 minutes, I am now an expert, because that's all it takes for me.
I know you, and you were definitely then telling them what they needed to start
doing. It's just intuitive. I just need
and
to
you're telling
see
the
it.
Guy who runs the business, here's what you need to start doing.
Yeah. And he understood that. He understood that. And that's why he separated from the group. And we spent a lot of time together. We talked about his business plan, talked about the areas he could improve design wise, even approach wise to the process.
Unbelievable. Do people ever.
I just have a lot of knowledge to share, you know?
Opinions for sure. Do people ever get annoyed by that? Like, what the fuck are you telling me what I should be doing with my business? You ever get that vibe?
No, they're grateful.
I like it. My favorite thing about you is that you look at yourself like Bill Gates and you're like, listen, everyone just wants to hear what I have to offer. Like, what else could you want?
I am just improving your processes. Okay. And they realize that. They realize
you're like basically an angel.
They realize the gift of my presence. And
you're
so
an
they
angel.
Welcome all of my criticism and advice. And
they're like, I was an atheist. Now I believe. That's funny.
Yeah.
Okay. So you do a little Cobb vibes but then you're there for like four or five more days. So then what does that look like?
I helped out my buddy on his organic farm.
Are you watching the kids while she's doing it? Are the kids at
home?
We're
all trading off. The kids are, so a lot of the times the kids were at home with my friend's wife, because they have a daughter 6 weeks younger than Ruth.
Got it.
And they're like best friends. They're twins. So they're just wearing princess dresses, running around. I mean, their property, they have acres in the middle of the woods with like a spring on their property. A creek runs through the whole thing.
Got it.
It's like 6 foot grass all over the place. It's like...
Okay. So basically, she was doing the Cobb thing for 2 weeks. And she goes, hey, you guys should come out, hang with the homies for half the trip while I'm still doing this. It wasn't like you were then joining her to continue the build.
No,
more like, oh, let's make this a family event homies, so I can come home. We can all hang out.
The and that homies kind of they're with are like, is like one of my lifelong best friends.
Got it. I thought you were going to like, to assist the build.
No.
You were just going to like bring the kids and so she's not gone by herself
for
so long.
No, the whole build thing, for me to want to do that, signing up with a bunch of random people and doing the summer is like, no, that's not my vibe.
So did they finish a house?
Becca loves that shit. They finished the, it was a bathhouse that they were building. And yeah, they finished it. Like they, I mean, it's incredible. Like,
right.
Just from like, to be like, we're getting quotes like, you know, you look at, oh, I want to do this little improvement in my backyard. And you're like,
thousands.
Hey, I just want to tear my garage down and put up a new garage. And they're like, cool, that's going to like be $100,000.
What? You're like, a garage?
And it's also going to take you like 3 years. Yeah. So
it's going to take you 3 years. We're going to destroy your life because it'll be sawdust and shit everywhere. And it's going to cost every dime you've ever made.
And these dudes are just like, hey, we're going to throw a workshop. You're going to pay me to come out here and build a bathhouse on my property.
I was going to say, this kind of sounds like a whole like Ponzi scheme where it's like,
genius.
Where it's like he goes, hey, I'm going to start a business where I teach you how to do this. And what happens after 5 years is I have an estate.
Yeah.
And I didn't pay and I got paid to make an estate.
Yeah.
Like it's kind of a genius move. I was wondering, are they building properties on this guy's property? Because if so, it's a genius
move. It's like a whole different type of like labor. Because you don't even pay, he doesn't pay these people.
He's getting paid.
He gets paid.
He gets paid to have people build properties on his property.
But you know what they get?
I love this idea.
You know
idea.
What they get?
What?
An experience. And well, you can't put a price on an
yeah,
experience.
Yeah, right. He's like, I absolutely can. And I did. and it's this how much. And this is how much you owe me now.
But it's this.
Well, it's, what do they call it when people go to farms to like clean up shit and like barrel hay and they pay for that?
I know what you're talking about. It's like
Dude Ranch.
Yeah.
Dude Ranch, where people go and they like, and people, I like the idea of farmers being like, wait, you want to come here and do all the chores that we hate doing to feel alive again?
Well,
sure. How much do I, like, you know, the first time someone like approached them for that, they were like, I'm sorry, what?
But that was us. Like, that was us on my friend's farm. So another one of our buddies was up there at the same time. We flew up for the same, like, 3 or 4 days. And so we were really excited to go help Andy out. That's my buddy, is Andy. We went to go help him out on his organic farm.
Oh, that's cool though.
Just Deck Family Farms, which is
sweet.
Super sick out there. But they have like, they do all their own butchering and then he is the manager of the produce. So we just went into one of his greenhouses that day and it was literally just like, we were harvesting like tomatoes, cucumbers, zucchinis and shit. And then we planted a new row of cucumbers and like strung up the plants and shit.
Wow.
And he was just teaching us about it.
It's really cool.
Bro, it was so gnarly.
Like how much work it is.
Just how much fucking work it was. Mm-hmm. And we were like, dude, this is so sick. Like we had so much fun. But I was like, imagine we did a half day just to where it got like the peak heat of the day. And I was like, imagine continuing for 3 more hours.
And doing this every day is your
100
job.
Degrees outside in a greenhouse.
Sweat
my
box.
Buddy got like heat stroke the other week and he had to like spent like 4 days recovering from it because he wasn't drinking enough water. He had like brain swelling and all this stuff. It's like, it's so gnarly.
Who thought gardening would be so heavy metal?
And just, dude, for real. And then, you know, let's like imagine doing this day in, day out.
Well, think about even having a little garden in your backyard. Maybe you're like, oh, I want to start gardening my backyard to have some fruits and veggies or some veggies at least for my salad, right? And then you're like, okay, you got to wait like months to get like 2 tomatoes. It's like, and then you could like make 1 salad out of it. It's like, it's so much work.
So gnarly. Dude, so let me show, it's not going to translate. We can send this to Lee's for them to see it, but I'll show you his farm.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So he, I mean, this is what the land is like all around it. It's just literally dense forest.
Right.
So his house is like a clearing in the middle of that.
Wow. Yeah, so that's hit. So wow, yeah, I mean, that's crazy. I mean, definitely, it's definitely like a lifestyle. It's hard to like combine that with a city life, so like LA, New York, whatever.
This is his property.
And by the way, he looks perfect for the job. I mean, that guy. That guy couldn't be more on brand. But you guys, this guy has a beard that's out to here. He's got like a corn cob hat or whatever. He's got like a straw hat, and he's in some sort of like, you know, jean shirt. Like the guy looks like if you were to draw, what does a guy who lives in the middle of nowhere and works at a greenhouse look like? That's the guy.
But he grew up surfing and skating in like Mar Vista in Venice.
he's become that role out there perfectly.
It's so funny. He's saying he's flying back to LA, and someone on the plane was like, he's looking out the window because he's just been isolated in the sticks the whole time. Right. And he just looks out at like the scale of the city, and he's like, oh my God. Right, and someone's like, oh, is it your first time here? And he's like, no, bro, like, I'm actually from here.
Yeah. It's interesting you say that. My buddy, he was like a tech guy, and he left the whole business, moved to Costa Rica for like the last 2 years, been between Mexico and Costa Rica, like rural areas in those places. And he came back and he stayed with me, and we were hanging out, and he was like, bro, we went to go get coffee at the coffee shop around the corner. And at one point he was like, can we actually sit around the corner? Like this, the car noise is driving me crazy.
Too much.
And it was interesting. He's like, you get so used to not being around all this activity that when you come back in, your brain explodes.
But they act like, it's funny because I'm like, most of what we do here is inactive. It's so like
slow.
We just go get coffee and then go and sit in front of our computer for whatever.
Zero body
active.
The shit
we were doing at my friend's place of just like what you do in your downtime was like, hey, like we're just hanging out for some downtime. Grab a 12 pack. We're going to chop wood for the next 4 hours to prep for his winter because they have a cast iron stove in their house and they need shit loads of wood. And it's like, oh, where does the wood come from? Well, he's surrounded by trees. So we ran out of trees to chop up. So we busted out chainsaws and we were felling trees on his property. Like, you know, these like fucking 40 foot tall trees. He was teaching us how to fucking chainsaw, like how to cut, how to fucking.
So it doesn't timber! Fall on you. So it doesn't just fall on you.
Drop a tree and direct the tree fall, and then hook that up to a tow hitch on the back of his truck and drag the tree out of the forest down to the area where we then took chainsaws and sectioned out this thing and then split it all up and quartered it and stacked it. And we were like, bro, this is the fucking tightest shit ever. And then he's like, he's building a wood storage shed out of all lumber from his property, and all his neighbors have lumber mills. And so we're watching by, these guys are building barns all from wood sourced from their property, and they're hand milling it. So the exteriors of these barns is like raw. I mean, and this shit is like, if you were to have someone build this in LA, these are like insane fucking buildings. And these guys, it's just all shit from their land.
Yeah.
And wow. You're just like, dude, this is so cool. It's so busy.
Right.
But then we move. We have none of these skills anymore. Right. And I go with my buddy. And it's like all the food we're eating comes from his farm. Even the meat, even all the dairy products, it all comes from the farm. All the veggies he grew from seed.
Wow.
So we're like doing, it's just like so different. And then it's like, oh, where's your heating come from? Like by hand. Like this fool did it.
So much work.
Everything you're doing is like touched by his own hands, and it's like he's building his entire life out there, and you're just like, this is amazing.
Wild. It's definitely a speed though, right? Like it's definitely like not for everyone.
No. Like I'm imagining you and Jess of just like, I'm imagining Jess having to like chainsaw a tree down.
And like, see, for me it's funny because it's like I worked construction when I was a kid, and from like, and like all that stuff. And it's like, I was felling trees, but like, you know, you're in the, and you're like sweating constantly, and then you're like in the thing and whatever. So like been physical most of my like adolescence and everything. But it's funny because it's like, there is this level of like, it is cool to do that. And it is exciting to be able to like, you know, from the earth, all these things. But there does come a level where you just have to love the process more than the result, I feel like, because like you said, like, you, oh, what are you doing this week? It's like, oh, this week I'm cutting down four trees. You know what I mean? Or whatever. You're like, that's the speed at what you're going to get things done is so slow and so laborious that I think you have to like enjoy.
It's also survival.
Right.
Like for us, all of our friends, like in our group of friends.
Yeah.
All fly out there. Like he constantly is hosting people because everyone wants to go do his chores.
They want to feel it.
Well, yeah. And it's just his survival chores. Right, right. And everyone's like, dude, I need a taste of that. I feel so removed from life at this point. And he's like, yeah, cool. Like you can come help me. And we're like, this is amazing. He's like, I'm surviving. But we're like crazy that's removed from right like there. The thing is like what he does, we all need. We all live on what he does.
Right, right.
Like we all do. Like, I mean, you know, it's like, where does everything come from? Like all of our wood comes from the Pacific Northwest. All the right. vegetables and stuff we eat, like is hand picked.
Right.
From some farm. And it's like people, it's like, it's so gnarly. And you well, just, now like, I got the vertical you just farming. Don't get it.
Yeah, my buddy's like an engineer for one of those where he like it's like tight. All in a warehouse, which is crazy. But
okay, bras, interrupting the bros. So you know when we find a new favorite, we just have to tell you all about it because what kind of friends would we be if we were gatekeeping all the best brands to ourselves? Not very good ones, that's for sure. So anyway, I've recently discovered Faherty, which is the most amazing brand of clothing that my entire family has been living in this summer. Oh my gosh, I can't get us out of it. Literally the entire family, myself, Evan, Ember, they take us from daytime errands to days at the beach to dinners out and everything in between.
Faherty brand makes clothing that kind of perfectly captures the essence of summer. Effortlessly cool, but also comfortable fabrics. They have like a linen railroad stripe overall set that I got. So freaking cute, so mm-hmm. soft and comfortable. The craftsmanship is thoughtful and classic, and they're committed to sustainability. So each piece comes with a lifetime quality guarantee. They will replace or fix your clothes forever, no matter what, so you can love them and wear them for as long as you wish. How awesome is that?
It's amazing. Like I said, we've been loving our Faherty pieces this summer, and Ember has the similar overalls to what you were saying.
Oh my gosh, so cute.
You guys can match. So cute. She's obsessed with them. She's wearing them absolutely everywhere. And I can already foresee the lifetime quality guarantee coming in handy because, like I said, she's been wearing it nonstop, and I know at some point they're going to need a little bit of fixing to get them looking all brand new again.
Right now, Faherty's giving Chatty Broads listeners 20% off. 20% off. So you just have to head to FahertyBrand.com/chatty and use code chatty at checkout to get 20% off. Code chatty at, here's how you spell it. Faherty. Faherty. So that's FahertyBrand.com/chatty for 20% off. FahertyBrand.com/chatty.
So I feel like everyone I know is traveling right now, yep. including ourselves. Yep, yep. You know, we've been traveling and maybe you are too. Maybe you're going somewhere far, like another state or country, or maybe you're just road tripping, or maybe you're just going to the next town over. It doesn't really matter where you're going or how far. When you're traveling, okay, you have got to take those extra steps to keep yourself healthy and support your immune system when it matters the most.
I love the Propolis Immune Support Throat Spray by Beekeepers Natural because so it's really soothing and it also has these incredible antioxidant properties. Propolis Immune Support Spray also has a ton of antioxidants. They've got vitamin C, zinc, iron, B vitamins, and over 300 other beneficial compounds. And it's super compact. It's easy to bring with you anywhere. And the kids love it too because it tastes just like honey. I'm like, so they love to take it. There's pretty much no other supplement that they like to yes. take, like the propolis spray.
It makes it so easy. And you know, I'm trying to start this new school year outright. Okay. I'm trying to use propolis every day to help support our immune systems and keep our bodies healthy when we're starting to feel run down. I started using it recently and I can tell you, I am seeing it working, like for real. I'm seeing it actively working for me. It's also free of artificial colors, preservatives, fillers, alcohol, gluten, GMOs, pesticides, and refined sugars. Also, Beekeepers Naturals is on a mission to save the bees. Bees are crucial to our planet's health. About 1/3 of our food supply would be lost if the bees disappear, and that's why Beekeepers Naturals is committed to sustainable beekeeping and pesticide-free products. They also partner with UC Davis Honey Bee Research Facility to raise awareness and support pollinator protection and donate 10% of apparel profits to them.
Today, Beekeepers Naturals is offering an exclusive offer. Just go to beekeepersnaturals.com/chatty or enter code chatty to get 25% off your first order. That's Beekeepers NATURALS.com/chatty, beekeepersnaturals.com/chatty, or you can just enter code chatty. Also, they sell their products at Target, Whole Foods, CVS, and Walgreens, so you can kind of find it anywhere you shop. Start feeling better every day today.
Crazy. Okay, so you weren't cob building. You were more so...
A lot of it, we were also just like babysitting for the kids.
Got it.
We were really watching the kids a lot, so...
Because what does his wife... Does she work on the farm too?
No, she used to be a Waldorf teacher.
Okay.
So she was a Spanish, she taught Spanish at a Waldorf school.
Oh, cool.
So like now she's now she does life coaching, and she really wants to work for the Mushroom Church in Oakland, California.
These people are great.
It's different, dude.
I love it. It's alternative.
Yeah.
I love that. I'm going to start a mushroom church.
There's a huge church in Oakland. It's like all about...
They take mushrooms and see God?
Pretty much.
Woo!
It's different, dude. It's really...
I love that.
But like the kids, like when you go with them, like what their kids are experiencing...
So different.
...is like a Huckleberry Finn childhood.
Sure, sure.
And like up to, you know, as a teenager, like before you go, like they also have... his wife has three kids other than their daughter. It's just interesting to see like the experiences that they get to have and like go into a room of people. Like how many teenagers have any experience remotely close to that?
Of like, none.
Exactly.
It's like I went to camp.
And so they're getting like all of camp. It. It's like, yeah, they still have an iPhone and like do all this, but like they know how to do all of this stuff.
I would imagine being raised in that environment gives you a lot of confidence in yourself. Being like, oh, I know how to do these things.
Yeah, when you realize no one else does.
Yeah.
Anyway, in the midst of all this, we watched The Bachelor.
Yeah, speaking of the opposite of this.
Which is hilarious when you're like in that world.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So you're like, you're watching it in there. Were you watching it there?
Yeah.
So you're like in a cap. So they have Wi-Fi though.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so they got Wi-Fi.
Yeah, they have internet and all that. And
tell them they need to buck up and get rid of the internet. Then they're really living.
He needs to farm his own internet.
He needs to mine Bitcoin.
Head out, put on his hard hat, and head out into the mountains and find some Bitcoin.
What an episode!
Yeah,
what an episode. I mean, I feel like this is when things are really starting to become. The questions are starting to be answered, which is like, what is this going to be like?
I have to say, I like it a lot better.
Well, it's a lot more torturous, that's for sure.
There's that, but I mean, look, like when we always have a singular person, there's like positive sides, and then we're like, oh my gosh, like the Bachelor or the Bachelorette is this or that way. Like this one's like, you can only spend so much time on one person. And right when you're getting bored of like their personality, it switches you to the other person. And you're like, I like this.
Quicker edits.
Way quicker. You're all over the place. I find it far more entertaining.
It's got to be frustrating for them though. Because they're like, oh, it's my moment to be the Bachelorette. And then they're getting like tortured live on television.
Well, this is what, I mean, there's a lot to unpack in this one for me, but I don't want to get this one. I feel like it's something we can't go too all over the place on.
Right.
Because there is so much happening.
Well,
let's do a
quick kind of recap. Yeah. So we got the first date, Zach and Rachel. Karamo from Queer Eye is there. They're hanging out. They're, you know, first of all, whenever there's a therapist or anything, I always go like, oh man. Cause like, there's always going to be like, you're always going to get some kind of roasted and, or at least questioned, you know what I mean? And Karamo is like a lot more like, he's more fun about it. And he's not just a therapist where he's going to grill you. He's like creative experience, but he did hit Zach with the like, so are you into Gabby too? And I just thought to myself, that's a terrifying question to be asked while you're sitting next to like your first date. And they're like, and he's basically putting on this stuff like, how are you going to play this?
Well, I loved that, and I gotta say, I mean, Zach grew on me through his experience with him, because right when it started, we were like, wow, he's super uncomfortable. And then we were like, no, Zach's just awkward.
He's just a nervous, kind of nervous guy.
Kind of nervous, awkward dude, because we were like, wow, this is the most bland person.
Mm.
We were like, we were... we were saying, like, we were like, it seems just like low brand Barbie and Ken dolls to me. Just like, we were like, you know, and then when they got to the movie side and they were showing, like, when this fool sees his mom, we were like, oh, he's broke. A sweetie, and he's probably going to go to fantasy suites.
Oh, wow. Like, you could see the trajectory.
Well, yeah, because I mean, look, he seems just like a genuinely nice, safe guy.
Can we just do a quick roast, though?
Yeah.
Of the movie premiere.
Oh, my God, dude.
I mean, dude, when they walked up and the fake photographers who were clearly just like actors who were looking for a gig, and they go like, they're like this, over here.
Rachel.
And there's no one there. Like, over here. Like, it was the most cringe.
Good performance on their end, though. They sold it.
I will say this. Are you talking about the photographers?
No. Rachel.
I will say the best thing about that whole date, well, in regards to, like, they did such a good job taking what was, in my opinion, a very lackluster experience and, like, going, oh, can you, this is amazing.
Dude.
We're in an abandoned movie theater.
Well,
what?
This was something to me.
Did not expect
it. This was something to me where I'm like,
it's so hard.
If you're not from here, is that like something people like, because they're going to the Chinese man and it was like a whole deal, but being alone, I mean, it was probably pretty cool to see that, like, all alone.
It was cool, but at the same time they were like, oh my Lord. It was a little bit like, I mean, it's an empty movie theater. Like, it's beautiful, but like at the same time, they're acting like, I mean, the other thing was zero gravity 747 and a helicopter. Like, and now you're in a movie theater.
Here's where
you're
movie
like,
theater.
You watch a slideshow. Like, it was
also
was
like SoFi Stadium. They were in one where it's like they got the whole stadium themselves. Those are on the turf.
Things.
Like, all that. It's so but, like, sick.
And you then, in a movie theater watching
a
slideshow
with
of
the
your
lights
own.
On.
The lights on
your own shitty home movies. The lights. The part that I thought that I liked, though, is well, this was like the joke I was having fun with, was like when he asks Rachel and he's talking about his childhood, about the like airplane thing,
yeah,
that their dad's like obsessed with it,
right?
And I was like, you know, like, he is like a tech exec, and watch him like work for Meta and just be like, oh, I didn't know that about you. Like, about Rachel, but like secretly this fool has access to, like,
oh yeah, he's like,
all
I
her
hacked
Facebook
into all
history,
your accounts,
all her family's history, and just like found all this out, and he's just like sharing this childhood story that, like, she's like, I've literally never met anyone whose dad took them to watch airplanes, and he's like, me neither,
right?
You know, but
he's
like
everything he tells her is perfectly calculated because he's analyzed her history for the last 30 years.
Yeah, he's actually not a tech exec, he's an AI.
Yeah, he's not real.
He is a artificial human made by Mark Zuckerberg.
He's iRobot.
Yeah. He's a lizard robot made by Nuck If You Zuck.
And he is a lizard and he is a part of the world order.
Zach the Lizardman Illuminati. He's chief of the Illuminati lizard people.
Dude, I would say this. That dude is tender. Like, he was sobbing, and he said, I'm falling for her. Like,
oh,
talk about, so it's either that they're, like, madly in love, or they're both just extremely, like, tender and emotive and can get swept up into an emotion. Because I was blown away. I was like, okay, they're watching the slideshow. They're feeling some emotion. It was beautiful. But at the same time, it's like,
all
crying
these guys
and making out and being like, I have never met someone like this in my entire, I was just like,
I mean,
whoa.
If we can jump for a sec, I mean, what if we jumped to the photo shoot date where Nate is doing the fake proposal with Gabby,
yeah,
and he starts slow and then he just builds to this thing where, like,
it was a full proposal. It was like the real deal.
And we were like, dude, if someone said that to me, we'd be like, thanks. Now get the fuck away from me.
But that's also because you guys don't like that type of thing.
Well, also, I know, but also her reaction was, she was just like,
she's like, I really like you, but that was crazy.
She's like, I really like you. Now I'm going to go. Now I'm just going to get the hell away from you for a little bit.
Because
Nate
went,
like,
hard.
We went so hard. We were like, dude, this is like,
he went so hard, dude.
Is. And normally we see people be pretty reserved through
or,
this. And I'm like,
or funny, you know, or just playful. But he went like, I'm trying to let you know, I got my eyes on
it. Yeah, but I also thought that was nice because it was also she really needed that.
I liked it because it's almost like he sensed that like she was struggling and he was like, I'm going to give it all.
And me and you we've been vocal about it. We're team Gabby. We like Gabby.
Okay, here's my
not
thing
team
though.
Gabby in terms of like, we're not team Rachel. We're just, we liked Gabby on Colton season.
Well, originally liked Gabby and still like Gabby a lot. And to be honest with you, I'm starting to really these girls are getting put through it, dude.
Oh my God.
It's exhausting for them. And it's like, you're trying to date all these people. You're trying to go through that. Then you're getting rejected now. And you didn't expect this type of situation. The guys are trying to flip a script on them. Like it's pretty like brutal, you know? And like, it's funny how you're seeing, not funny, but you're seeing like they're both struggle in their own way. Where it was like, remember originally Gabby seemed like the one who had like her more shit. Of a bulletproof situation. And then all of a sudden, we're the opposite. Now she's bawling and struggling and Rachel's like on top of the world. It's like there,
except I still think Gabby has the tougher skin. And especially now that the friendship war has begun.
I don't know. I think I'm starting to feel like they're gonna survive this.
I think
thing.
There's a war on friendship happening. I think the producers want it. And they are
but
creating
I don't know
it.
If they're gonna get it.
Well, what's next up on solid. Your thing before I just jump to like my whole friendship war?
Okay, so we got that date. Remember how brutal when she went to the house? And none of the guys did anything. They're like, what's up? You want to throw the ball around a little bit? Dude, ball head chucks the ball, almost hits her. He's running around. I love ball head. Great.
So glad ball head's done.
But ball head is the classic guy that overdoes the like sports game thing where it's like, hey, we're just relaxed here. And you're like diving for the ball.
He overdoes everything.
Like, it's just too much meat sauce.
Dude, my favorite comment was her just saying, I'm done with the football. I didn't want to do it to begin with.
Yeah, that was so funny because she's like, I was really hoping you guys would pull me for a date. And all we're doing is like chucking the ball around with the boys. Like
incredible. And everyone's like, hey, what's up, Gabby? Way to interrupt like our time.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that. I thought this was guy time. And she's like, this is what you guys do all day.
I'm also like, who is this crowd? Like, are they all asleep? No one was like, hey, Gabby, can I talk to you?
I was talking the same thing with Jess. I was like, dude, how is it that she was there for like probably a half hour?
Unexpected.
And not
everyone wants time.
And there could have been just, hey, can I grab you real quick? Can I grab? And then it would have been on. But hey, let's go to the pool. Let's pour some drinks. Let's have a good time. Like something that's like fun and social. Instead, they're like, well, someone grab football.
No. And said she left in tears because they're all just a boring fucking snooze fest.
Just jock strap.
Like, are you kidding?
It was wild how bad they were.
1-800 Evan and Gray's Bachelor Advice. Call us. We're a hotline.
Hey, try to get time, you know?
That was unbelievable to me.
How I loved, the date with Grandpa.
It's amazing.
He was great.
Absolutely amazing, dude, in his little sweater. And he's just dead ass asleep. God. In the sound.
when they're doing the sound bowls and they're like,
he's getting his
John,
like, sage
bath. You can join us now. And he's in a blankie. He's like literally like this. He's head on pillow. And they're like, and he's like, oh, what?
And then they find out.
Like, he goes, what do you mean join you?
I loved one of my favorite parts of Grandpa though was when I forget the guy's name, but he bowled between his legs and hit the strike.
Eric,
yeah. And the grandpa was just like straight pissed about that. Because he was like, the grandpa was like, we're playing bowling. Like no, we're not playing bowling. We are bowling.
We are bowling. And you're making a mockery of this thing.
And he was like, I could tell just he was like fuming on the inside of like, and now he just got rewarded for being a fucking clown. Right. And he was just like pissed about it. He was like,
but the cool thing about grandpa was like down for the experience. Like you were trying to tell my grandpa, RIP, who's a war veteran.
Oh, yeah. No,
dude,
he is,
that we're going to do sound bowl. He'd be like, are you out of your mind? There's no way in hell I'm doing this hippie shit. Like he would literally just, but John was just down for the ride.
You know what though?
Grandpa, I think John was just like, let's do it.
I think it's because it's his granddaughter. And a guy,
I think it's beautiful.
A guy came up to us on the plane and he was talking to me about Ruth and Frank, and I was, you know, it's like, obviously, okay, you had kids. And I was like, how old are your kids now? And he's like, old enough that they have kids these age. And he was just talking to me about like cherishing that time. And I was like, yeah, yeah. But I was like, isn't like having grandkids the best? And he goes, you can tell her when she's old enough to have her own kids, or if she does, he goes, you can tell her I said this to you. He goes, you will love her kids more than you love her.
Oh, wow.
I was like, whoa. I was like, that's a very weird way to put that. But I was like, that's...
It makes sense, though, because you're older and you have more perspective. And so when life comes into the world that's your family, you're going to be a lot more probably aware of it. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
when you're young and 20 and you're struggling and you're trying to pay your bills and you're stressed, you're not really in it. But if you're like 70 and you're in the back half and you're kind of sitting there and the kids come over, you're a lot more like present.
I love seeing Gabby and her grandpa, honestly.
That
I
was beautiful.
It's so fun.
Now let's talk about Eric. Dude, he had some comments that were whack.
What's your whack comments?
Well, first of all, he was not stoked to see grandpa.
No.
He was annoyed. You could tell he was like, this old man's ruining my vibe. So you could tell he was pissed right away. He wasn't like, Grandpa John. He wasn't hugging him. He wasn't bringing him in. He was annoyed. He barely even talked to the guy. And he was like, and then he made that, you remember that? He made that comment where like he's sitting with her and they made out. And he goes, so John's talking to the other older lady, you know, and they're like hanging out bowling. And then Eric goes, oh, it's nice to get away from whatever that is. And it was like, Jesus, bro. Like,
yeah,
that was a weird comment. Like, multiple times he made comments about like, oh, this is annoying. Let's get away from those guys. Or, oh, I did not expect that. Or there was even a time when he was interviewing or he was talking. I think he's like, yeah, it is, you know, not really what I was expecting for the date, but we had a good time even still. It was like,
no, and remember,
what?
This is
what
the
is
dude,
your problem,
this
bro?
This is the dude who we had the, like, went about the group date. He was like, I'm pissed that I didn't get the first impression.
He's got that energy.
And I'm saying, like, this dude, I feel like we're going to see, like, some anger issues come out, is, like, my gut feeling.
He's got a weird anger vibe going on.
Very passive-aggressive, too.
It's a calm anger. It's not, like, a loud anger. But, like, everything he says has a lot of, like, connotation to it that like he's annoyed, he's angry.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's not very flexible. He's not like, oh, Grandpa John's here, let's hang out, blah blah, or oh this was
or
fun.
Turn that into pivot that into something
passion.
Positive to be like, what do you think it takes to have like a strong, long-lasting relationship? What's your take on like the importance of family? What's your like, you know, whatever, what do you want to see for Gabby at the end of this? Like, do you want to see her engaged, or do you want to like not just the answer of like whatever makes her happy, just be like, what do you honestly
right.
think of this whole thing? Like da da da. But instead it was just like ignore him, you know, whatever. I just was,
yeah, he could have involved him so much. He also could have been like, dude, one way to win over Gabby is to be super fun with her family. So like sit there and laugh with him and play with him and be there and joke around and like razz him and all this stuff. Then all of a sudden she'd be like, oh my God, he's amazing. You dissed him and ignored him and created like an awkward vibe.
I already though, he has, he's on the back foot with me because he just moved to Santa Monica. Mm. And so he's part of the crowd to me that's ruining my hometown.
Got it. I'm sorry about that.
So it's all right. It's just, another,
listen,
it's just
I picked
one
Eric.
Eric. It's just one Eric at a time.
Yeah.
Did you know he had his hair cut like that when you picked him?
I didn't say that I like him the most when I picked him. I said, I think he has potential to win.
That's how I feel about
thing.
Ivan. I don't know if I mean? Like Ivan the most.
Avon?
Avon. Yeah.
Avon. The one who won the rose.
Yeah.
He's killing it.
He's killing it. Vibe. He's my pick. And you know, you hedge your bets not on your feelings.
Exactly.
You just hedge your bets.
That's my thing with Eric,
you know,
was like, I went,
gotta look
I'm
at
betting.
The paper.
Okay. So that was okay. So then there's the group date, SoFi Stadium. And this was brutal.
Remind me what's brutal.
Well, the whole thing that happened with Gabby. Well, Rachel has like these amazing dates, right? She's playing football.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
She's doing all this stuff. She's making out. She's on a couch out, being straddled. Then all of a sudden, Gabby gets the like, bam, 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 and the way they did it.
Dude, so Tyler was the only person who did it in a way that was like halfway respectful to her.
Yeah, he was just like, hey, you know, like,
he's like, look, you're amazing. Like,
chemistry's not there, whatever. Yeah.
And he was so sweet. And that was like, she was like, oh, I'm going to make sure to tell her.
Right.
Too, because that was like the genuine way. Like, he gets it.
Right.
Freaking Blondie Tarzan boy.
Jacob.
That was the like.
And the other one.
Bro, yeah, Hayden. But Jacob cheersed her and didn't even. He was like, cheers, and turned to walk away. Well, and he was like, oh, yeah, I have to drink this. And then he was like, cool. So, all right, sick. See you out there. Like, you're never going to see her again. Like,
well, dude, how brutal was it when he said, you know, and I'm more into Rachel, blah, blah. And like, don't get me wrong, you're smoking. But like, it's just like, it was.
If it was just you, I would go home.
That's what it was. He said, like, you know, I think it was just me. You know, I'd go home and like, don't get me wrong, you're smoking. But like, anyway, cheers. And he got so awkward. He goes, cheers. And he kind of like turned and like drank, not looking at her. Dude, and it was like, let's go have some fun. Yeah.
I was just like,
oh my gosh. How
do you navigate life?
But the worst was Hayden. He was the worst because he goes, you know, Rachel just aligns more with my morals.
Dude.
It could be said that Gabby, you're a little rough around the edges.
I hate him.
Like, holy shit.
I hate him.
What a crazy thing to say.
Yeah, he's villain, dude. He's seasoned villain.
Like, not only are you telling her you're not interested in her, but you're going out of your way to tell her that, like, she's rough around the edges. She's not really, like, his standards, and that she's rough around the edges, whatever that means. Like, dude,
this is where demoralized. So now this is, now we can bring up the war on friendship. Is after all that, dude, Gabby was, like, falling apart from this. Goes up to Rachel. The first person she talks about was Hayden saying that.
I know what you're saying.
And
I know what you're
Rachel's
saying.
Reaction was like, are you fucking kidding me?
She was
me?
A great friend.
And she was like, unacceptable.
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 Yes. I know what you're saying. I know where you're going with this.
Okay.
I was blown away as well.
You know,
I was blown away as well.
And it's like, yeah, it looks like you guys are. And what I thought was interesting through that was, okay, so we won't jump ahead to that. Anyway, she goes, unacceptable.
She was in that moment, Rachel did an amazing job as a friend.
Super supportive.
She was just like, I'm so sorry. I'm here for you. That's bullshit.
Do you want me to confront them about it?
Exactly.
Should we say something? Should we handle the situation right now? And she's like, no. It's just, it is what it is. You heard it. This is how these guys treated me in telling me
they
that they're not
here.
They
kind of bonded over it.
And it wasn't that there was anything wrong that they like want Rachel over her. It's just like, you could have behaved like Tyler.
Mm-hmm.
Tyler was stand up in that situation.
It's a tough situation.
Those two were like classic, now, like your head is buried in your ass.
Now, if I'm being honest with you, I still don't understand the move.
The what?
The move of why do you have to even bring this up right now? Why can't you just hang out with Gabby
and have a good
and
time?
And have a good time and see if there's chemistry there. If there's no chemistry, she's not going to pick you anyways.
I don't
so
get it.
So why do you have to go out of your way to tell her that you're not into her?
They think
like,
it's a weird move.
Can someone explain this to me?
Well, dude, this is the weird thing too of like, to me, like you could tell a girl's friend that you're really into their friend, or you could just go up and tell the girl
exactly
that you're into her. But it's like telling someone that you're like, you could tell Gabby that you're not there for Gabby, or you could just, like you're saying, have a good time and then go tell Rachel you're there for Rachel. What's more of a power move? What's more of a like gentleman move? What's more of a, and they're looking at it as like, I don't want to lie to you. I don't want to hide anything from you. So instead, I'm going to give you like the coldest truth possible in the coldest way possible, where it's like, bro, you know that they're going to talk about everything together, right?
It's also like, dude,
how you behave with her might as well be the girl you want to date. Well,
also, no one's asking you to choose.
No
one's grilling you saying, who are you here for? You can totally go to Gabby and say, hey, how are you? This is so fun, blah 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 blah, share a kiss. And then you could go over to Rachel and blah blah, if the chemistry is there, share a kiss. Like, there is no rule book here where you can't talk to both of these people. The same goes with the rose ceremony. I mean, we don't want to jump, but like,
I love the rose ceremony.
I'm confused on these guys' mindsets. Also, You notice that none of the front runners are doing this.
No.
You don't see Tino and Logan and Nate. I mean, Nate's definitely diehard Gabby, but he's not going up to Rachel and saying, I'm not here for you. He's just making it clear through action who he really likes. But he's not going, hey, Rachel, I want to make
and
sure. Do not pick me.
Letting them put their flag in the ground on which guys
and
they want.
They're going to pick up the vibe. They don't need to be told who's not that into them.
No, but this goes back to, like, you don't need to go out of your way to talk shit about another person.
Exactly.
To them, because if they truly are that.
Oh, I see what you're saying. But I mean,
they're going to damage themselves.
But if there are certain things that are, like, bad, right? There are certain moments. I do feel like it's, there are certain times when it's, like, good to bring things up. Not mm-hmm. every time, but there are certain times where it's like, hey, this is a bad person, and they might be like, kick. A lot of people might lose out on a great opportunity because this person's manipulative and like sociopathic or something, right? like the true villains, like in the past, when some of these people are like amazing at hiding how bad they really are.
I'm just remembering Shanae. It's just such a wonderful villain.
So then they have an amazing kind of friendship connection over it. Like, Gabby gets dissed 3 times, which was brutal.
And then they're like, cool.
And then they connect.
Let's take care of this. And cancel the cocktail party.
And we're going to flip the script. We're going to put the power back on us.
Mm-hmm. But then, of course, producers flip it on them.
and then they go, okay. You think you're going to get back the episode? No. Don't worry. No. So we don't know what happened, but they must have talked before. I'll be like, who are you choosing? Who am I choosing? Or else that would have been a mess. They're so I'm like, sure game planned it.
Well, I'm sure producers thought about this too. Because
mm-hmm.
They had it sussed out. And I just love the take a rose away if you deny it.
We didn't see that coming.
No, which I was like, ooh, I love this. But they both lost out. I didn't know that.
I thought when it was going down that just Rachel would lose a rose. You know what I mean? Because I was like, oh, she's getting rejected. She loses the rose. But then at the end, they end up with one. And I was like, oh.
What I like is you can't feel out people to be like, oh, are you here for her? Oh, okay. Then it's like, no. Like, you might lose that rose. You better make damn sure that you're picking the right person.
And I want to get back to this again. Guys. Why did you reject the rose? You're not a front runner. The guys who all rejected the rose are not like the main dudes. They're kind of like in the mix of stuff, you know, and they rejected the rose. Now I get the first one because you don't know the rules yet. So the first person who rejects the rose just thinks, oh, maybe Gabby will pick me right now. So then they both lose a rose. So now, you know, as the guy, if your name gets called and you reject the rose, Gabby has to unselect someone she was going to select and select you. So that means your chances of getting picked are slim to none. And Gabby in her brain is going to be a little turned off by you because you kind of like dissed her friend. You know what I mean? It's just naturally.
This is what I love about Gabby, though, dude.
But my thing was like, dudes, just say yes to Rachel. Just go with it. Just be a part of the experience. And then maybe over time, they'll be switching, you'll be whatever. But like, just go with the experience. You getting kicked off the show, what is the point of this?
But it's hindsight, because it's like, it's easy to say it. He thought he was doing something
like
honorable in this way. And I loved him standing up there being like, so I just denied her. Like, are you going to offer me a rose? Like, how does this?
No. The first one, 100%, because there's this level of like, we don't know the rules yet. But the second and third one, I'm like, boys, like, you know, this is over for you if you do this.
I know. But that's where
it blew me away.
Loved, though, was Gabby just looking at him like he's expecting something from her. And she's like,
what?
And I loved after the group date, she's like, yeah, so I'm not giving out a group date rose. And everyone was like,
we didn't talk about the group date.
And she didn't, though, but she doesn't go into like, she's like, no, I just said
what
I said.
The most awkward silence ever was her just going, I'm not going to be doing that. And everybody looks at her like, what? And she just goes, so we can say goodbye now. she didn't go and here's why and here's the feeling. And here's
it's honestly my favorite thing about her, like, dealing with this is she's she knows, like, even though we're seeing, like, all of this, you know, like, I mean, like, the sadder sides of Gabby, she's still, like, when she speaks her mind or, like, when she makes a decision, she's like, that's a firm choice. And she's not justifying it. She's not over explaining herself. She doesn't really care that you don't like it. She's just like, no, like, this is what I'm doing. And she's, like, super comfortable with it. And I'm like, dude, that is a totally different kind of strength. Because a lot of people are, like, become very off kilter in that situation. And, like, even if you look at the way the two of them talk, like, Rachel is very wishy-washy and things. She says a lot of stuff of, like, I'm kind of, sort of, almost incredibly into him.
But I will say this. I'm really into both of them. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm actually finding their relationship really sweet. I'm finding how they're dealing with... They're such different people, but they're also handling it really well by leaning on each other. They're even though the producers are clearly trying to cause a battle between them, so far, they seem to kind of have rejected going against themselves.
I do.
And kind of have gone with this whole concept of, like, we are not going to let this beat us, which is pretty cool.
I do think, though, like, there's a thing to me where... It feels to me like Gabby cares less about what everyone else thinks of her than Rachel does. Rachel, I think, wants people to just like everyone to just to get along.
Got it.
And I think there's less conviction in some of this. Like, Gabby, if she's like, this is just from the decisions we're going to, like, I want to talk about in the rose ceremony, is like, I made a pact with you. Of like, here's how we're going to handle it. And we're going to stand by that no matter what.
Yeah.
If you say you like a guy, that's your dude that we're not going to touch. If this dude hurts your feelings in some way, like, he's off my radar because of that. If he showed you any kind of disrespect, whatever, there's no exceptions. And that's where I think this, like, anyway, as we go in the war, into the roast, the war ceremony.
Yeah. The war room.
As Rachel starts getting, you know,
rejected.
And she's like, they did it to me in front of all these people. And Gabby's like, the whole fucking show is being filmed. We're all having this done to us in front of millions of people. Also, they were ridiculously polite and gentlemanly to you. They shit talked her to her face and then just walked away. We're like, insanely dismissive. And Rachel dismisses that. She's like, no. Mine's different. Mine's worse. And Gabby was just like,
You know when you're hurt in the moment? It was definitely like raw.
I saw her realize that and she's like, okay, breathe through. Let's just get back
exactly.
there. And then Rachel turns around and gives Hayden a rose.
Dude. The Hayden move was interesting to me because up until this point, I felt very good about like them as a... And then, like you said, she had a moment where like she was kind of like dismissing Gabby's experience for a moment. You could tell like she kind of like was just so raw that she was just feeling like no one gets me, and then she kind of snapped into it. Everything was good, and then she gave the guy who had the worst reaction to Gabby dude, a rose.
This is the guy who you were like, what the fuck did he just say?
Right.
How did he just treat you? Right.
This was the worst one.
And you gave him the rose. Also, of all the dudes up there, there's a lot of guys up there. But she's like, Meatball. He doesn't even have a name anymore.
Ballhead
doesn't even have... No one even remembers his actual name.
Funny. It was funny that she used Meatball. She didn't say his name. She said Meatball. Like, imagine being like... I'm just serious, but like, Meatball.
Did you
have a rose? Like, Meatball? The guy who was in a diaper
Could
4 hours ago?
Could you imagine being his mom and dad? And you're like, you went on national TV with a name, with a normal name, the name we gave you, and you just foregoed it to be forever known as Ballhead.
Now, I will say this about Ballhead. He has the most screen time out of any other guy.
It infuriates
me. No one
me.
Is on the screen more than Ballhead. I don't know what, I don't know if his cousin is the editor. I don't know what, the Ballhead gets more interview time than anyone else.
He's touching sand too.
And he hasn't even been on a date.
I guarantee you he's going to be sun-kissed and touching sand.
100%. He's been making subs.
It pisses me off.
So I just can't.
I cannot believe out of all the dudes up there,
he's still going.
He got offered a rose.
I know. He must be charming or something. He must be just.
I don't
fucking
get it. Or maybe
he's guaranteeing them like foot-long subs for the rest of their lives. Like, if you come to my town, I'll hook you up with a sub.
He's no Tyler Cameron, I'll just say that.
No. Yeah, I don't know what it is. Maybe he's just fun. They're like, I'll keep ball head around.
What about the guy who looks like a freckled Tyler Cameron? What's that guy's name? He's on there. He's like Becca and Jess will talk about
Tino?
Him. No, not Tino.
Oh, yes. I'm totally spacing.
He's had
yes.
hardly any screen time.
Yes, and they both are like he's hot as hell.
He's
like,
going far.
But both the girls are like he's so hot.
Yeah, he's too hot for screen time.
He's too hot.
They're saving him.
But both Rachel and Gabby have been like, whoa, that guy's hot.
Yeah.
Okay. But last thing I want to say, though, the one thing I did do was I analyzed when every guy was selected, I analyzed their reaction.
Okay, let's hear your analyze.
So, like, I was like, I want to see how they react because they're getting chosen. So, like, their reaction is everything, right? Because if they're like, oh, they walk over and they're like, absolutely, whatever. But the one who clearly reacted negatively, but still said yes, was Logan. Logan walked over and just goes, yes. No hug. He's like, it was awkward as shit. And so then even before they did the preview where he like later on is like, I'm into Gabby. I'm not even into Rachel. You could tell because he walked over and he's like, and he's usually Mr. Smile, charismatic, and he just is like, And he just, and I remember this specifically. He didn't absolutely would love. No, he just goes, yes.
Because like, he wanted to stick around. He didn't want to.
And
risk
then when
it.
He walked out, remember when all the guys were walking out to see their friends? You know, like they join the groups, and every guy's like, "What's up?" And they're giving dad. They're like, "What's up?" They're giving hugs and high fives. He just walks out and goes, "Oh, thanks." Like you could tell he was like, "Oh."
Well, and this to me is where I'm like, I think he was seeing like Gabby just being like, she's not going to pick a single dude that says no to Rachel. She's just not going to do it.
Yeah.
And she didn't.
No. But
I think he watched that. And was
No, he was early. He was like guy number three or four.
He's just like, I'm going to stay on the show no matter what.
Yeah. He was before that, the rejection, I think. So he was just kind of like, but he played it smart. He knew like you can't make the decision now.
Also, fuck, I forgot about this. We're not done with fucking Ballhead, dude. He fucking comes back. I am just like, ugh. And the lamest.
You know what? You might have been right. I think Tremaine might have turned it down first.
He did. He was the very first person to turn it down.
He was. But what I'm saying is I think Logan was after Tremaine. I think now that you're saying that. Yeah, you're right.
And then they were like, now get back in line.
And he's like, I can't do that.
Fuck that.
He's like, I can't do that.
No. And that I just then Ballhead just, this dude was like, hey, I'm not here for you. Oh, wait, but now I'm going to lose out on all my screen time and like my opportunity. He's like, actually, you know what? Like I could be into you. What do you want to give this a shot? You want to give this a go? Like, we've had some fun. We've had some laughs, right? And she's like, yeah, get in there. And it was like, what?
Yeah, it was very like
what?
It was very like throwaway.
Like, that's
the vibe?
That's the vibe you want?
It's like just a buddy? It's like she kept her friend in.
I like really hope that was like producers are like, look, like we actually don't have enough guys. At this point. And
wait, I'm spacing. Didn't Ballhead go home?
No, Ballhead went after Ballhead didn't get the rose. He's like, wait, like, I want to talk to Rachel. And he went up to Rachel after the whole thing and asked if he could renege his rejection of her and come back to be there for her. And she let him.
Wait, what?
At the end of the episode.
Before the preview?
Yeah, and then in the preview, Ballhead's talking shit about another dude.
That's what I'm saying. I saw that, but I was also like, wait, where's Ballhead?
He rejected...
Dude, something might have happened with my stream, I did not see this part.
He rejected Rachel, and then he came back and told Rachel basically that, like, you know,
after thinking more about it, he could actually, you know, see a romantic relationship with her.
And then she brought him in.
Uh-huh.
Something must have happened in my stream, because it was funny you say this, because I was watching, I saw him go home, or at least what I thought was going home.
Yeah, like, thank
and then,
God.
And then all of a sudden, he's in the preview talking shit. And I was like, wait, does Ballhead come back just to talk shit for that one? Oh, he came back.
Crawling on his knees, begging for forgiveness. And she forgave him. And I was just like,
what? This, I didn't see that. That's so weird. Okay.
I was just like, dude.
Wow. Wow.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, shit, man. I mean, I will say it's going to be fun. Like, there's a lot of good stuff coming
up. It's
going
to be really fun. But, like, you know, I think there's going to be a lot of stuff about people saying negative things about Gabby on this last one. And I have to say, like, the going back to just the original, her one-on-one, where he's sitting there. Imagine how hard that would be, sitting there and having someone just be like, yeah, like, I grew up with the most amazing, supportive family unit. My mother would, like, my mom, die hard team me.
Right.
I could be the biggest
loser. I've heard the stories.
Piece of shit. And my mom is just like there. I mean, this woman woke me up with hot chocolate the majority of my like life before
18.
I don't
want to talk about this. I'm way triggered.
I'm a very pampered mama's boy.
You're a big mama's boy.
Yeah. And it's like, I was just imagine. I was like trying to think of like if I was on a date with Gabby and I was talking about my mom, and then she's supposed to talk about her mom, and I'd be like, dude, like you're just like it just is like, and that situation where she was like, this is just validating all of my fears that like
all these,
which
all
is
these
like all this stuff,
you tell
and
yourself.
I was just like, this is like heartbreaking.
It was really, really hardcore, and especially. It was just like they didn't even get into it. It wasn't like they were talking about all her stuff. She's getting hit with it so hard that it's just coming right to the front.
It was like really. I was like,
it was heavy.
This is a whole different kind of like trauma that yeah. like I don't think I haven't seen on this show yet.
No,
of just like,
real deal.
This is like
this
totally
is like real
different
rejection, real desertion, childhood desertion, and it's also like usually this stuff kind of comes to a head later, like. Couple people left and then things start to get, but she's like experiencing this
dude
early
and then
on.
When you think about like the experience with like Colton, I was just yes. like, dude, anyway,
no,
that's where I'm like so sympathetic towards like, and that's the stuff where it's like Rachel's decisions really pissed me off, because I was like, dude, you not see like what like giving a rose to Hayden is like
everything was
deep,
good.
What a deep blow that is.
It was weird. That was the only, I thought they were doing such a good job. And the Hayden rose, maybe I'm reading. Yeah. Maybe we're reading into it too much. Maybe like,
I don't
they
think,
both agreed like, no, he can be great for you. Let's do that. Maybe they talked, but it was interesting how they had just said like, screw him basically. And then she chose him. It was like,
what's really happening is, we're getting played by producers.
That's
hard.
What I mean. Like they could have totally had a total conversation where like, he's like, oh, I'm sure he's a great guy. I'm sure he didn't mean to say it. You pick him. It's great. Oh, okay. You know what I mean? It could have been like that. You never know. But the way they made it look was that like, she chose him almost like,
and I'm just gonna say he's bad news.
He's bad news.
And we're going to see it come out. That's my guess.
Definitely has like slimy vibes.
Slimy vibes. Frogman vibes.
Frogman?
This
is an awesome
guy.
Season. And it's going to, I mean, it's brutal, but it does create for fantastic watching.
It's a lot better.
Fascinating stuff.
I'm into it.
It's definitely more exhausting. You know what I mean? It's less like, you're just a lot less focused on love. You're a lot more focused on like, holy shit. Like,
but it's like there's so many other relationships to keep in balance.
Yeah.
But yeah, I can't wait to see like how everyone becomes unhinged in like the next 2 to 3
now
episodes.
Now that they're locked in, there's going to be one or two guys that are going to like start to go, wait, was I
especially
really,
when one
was
of them,
I into her?
Or one of them flips the script on this. Like when Logan decides to be the first, maybe he's the first guy who's like, I think I chose the wrong team.
Yeah. It's also fascinating because I don't think probably anyone realized to this level how much having two bachelorettes or two bachelors would take the power out of their hands and put it in the contestants' hands, right? Like this power flop has been huge, Like, I don't think people realized. I think everyone thought, like, oh, what it would do is create a little bit more just like options for them to go for, but not like, oh, I just rejecting you to your face, multiple people. It's kind of wild. It's kind of wild how brutal it's been and how much like now the power is completely out of their hands, which is kind of in some ways, like actually in every way, double screwing the women.
Super
like
different.
They just got screwed by Clayton. And now they're getting messed with again by this whole experience, which is complete. It's like, oh my God, dude, they're getting put through it.
Normally bachelorettes don't, or the bachelor, the bachelorette don't deal with rejection.
No, they're like the mountaintop out,
and they're just getting their ego patted the whole time.
Not them, man. They're getting double.
Thanks for the morning, guys.
Good morning, y'all. Have an amazing weekend.
Bros and broads.
Bros and broads. We love you all so much. We will be back next week with the next episode. I think this is the beginning of some real unhinged.
This is the beginning of the end.
This is the beginning of the end. Well, we love you guys, and we'll see you next week. Chat soon.